Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Back to Premier League action this weekend. Let's do Fan Friday with Jay. Morning to you, Jay.
Morning, Steve. You okay?
Great, thank you. And on the blue side of things, Gary as well. Hello, Gary.
Morning, Steve.
Thanks for your company, lads. Let's start with you. Liverpool against Southampton. A lot of talk about Virgil van Dijk leading up to this naturally. But one of the papers saying yours for £70 million. I can't get my head around the figure. And I just sort of feel if they paid that much money for this player, would it really be worth it?
Well, it does appear that, you know, their stance has softened a little bit, doesn't it? You know, all the talk in the summer was there's no chance that they'd sell to us, and I also thought that would be the case in January. But, of course, if Liverpool went in with a massive bid of something like £70 million, then I'm pretty sure that they probably would sell him. But, no, let's get real about it. Liverpool are not going to spend that type of money on a centre-back. It's just simply not going to happen. I think Liverpool are hoping to probably get him for around about the £50 million mark. And, you know, that's a lot of money as well, isn't it? But, you know, it's clear to see Liverpool really do need a centre-half. And, you know, Jurgen Klopp identified Virgil van Dijk. He was his number one target, and he kept the powder dry because he couldn't get him in the summer. So it will be interesting to see if we do go back in for him in January, but I think £70 million is a silly figure.
How far is Joe Gomez off being a centre-half?
Well, the lad's only 20 years of age, isn't he? You know, he came with a, you know, massive reputation of being this, you know, hot prospect, didn't he? You know, to follow in the footsteps of maybe a Rio Ferdinand type of centre-half. He's played most of his Liverpool career at left-back when he first came when he was 18. He's played at right-back a lot this season. So he's not really been tried at centre-half, has he? He made, you know, obviously a fantastic impact for England in midweek against Brazil. Done very well against Neymar and Jesus, didn't he? So, you know, you can't complain too much. But I think, you know, when it comes to the weekend's game against Southampton, I'm pretty sure he'll be back at it, you know, in his more familiar role for Liverpool at right back.
Liverpool need to start keeping some goals out. In fact, you know, I put a little quiz together for Matchday on something I do at the ground. See if you can answer this. Jurgen Klopp has been in charge for 79 Premier League matches now. How many goals have Liverpool conceded? Is it 89 or 99 goals?
It wouldn't surprise me if it was 99, to be honest. Because,
Jay, it is. It's 99 goals. They've scored 154. And they've conceded 99 goals in 79 matches.
Well, this is what I say, you know, week in, week out on this show, and I've been saying this for probably 2 years now. You know, he needed to, when he first came to the football club, he needed to sort out that defence. Goalkeeper was an issue, centre-backs was an issue, just defensive unit in general, and he's just not rectified it. I mean, you know, look, I like Jurgen Klopp, but, you know, 2 years into his tenure now, He's not addressing key issues, and that's the defence. If anything, we're worse now defensively.
They're frightening figures. Let's talk about Everton. They've got their own frightening figures, haven't they? At the moment, Gary, to resolve not least away wins, which is something that Evertonians aren't quite used to for quite a while.
No, we're not far short. What are we? About 6-7 weeks from it being a year now, Steve, and Palace being the last one in January. So, it's not ideal. In fact, it's absolutely awful, you know, and it's something we've got to rectify starting tomorrow, really.
Have you seen the green shoots of recovery after the Watford game, or are you hoping the green shoots are there?
I'm hoping they're there. Obviously, having no game since then, we're all hoping that it's a confidence booster and, you know, something that we can pick up and run with tomorrow, starting tomorrow away at Palace. You know, the game was, it was quite fortunate in how we won the game. There's no getting away from that. Got 3 points is 3 points. And sometimes that's what you need to kickstart your season in this position. So I'm just hoping it is.
It's what David Unsworth needs. I mean, he needed a confidence booster, didn't he? His fourth game in charge, things hadn't gone well. People were speculating that he might not get another chance somehow. It's sort of materialised, or it's come to the situation whereby, almost by default, he is still there, but he's still got a chance to prove that he can do the job.
I think people, supporters, have slightly softened. You know, before the Watford game, with three defeats, it was, you know, doom and gloom, and he had to go and we had to be replaced. All of a sudden, they win a game. I think it was more the fact, regardless of how fortunate we won the game, it was more the fact of how we won it as far as the bottle we showed and the recovery from 2-0 down. Any game, regardless of who you're playing, doesn't matter. You can be playing the conference side in the cup. If you're 2-0 down, it takes some doing to come back. So I'm hoping for him as well. You know, the uncertainty at the moment regarding the manager is ludicrous. It really is. You know, it's not putting us in a good position. So I'm just hoping he just takes the reins and he runs with it. Because over those games, even the games we were losing, you know, when we were away at Lyon for an hour, we looked great. Well, I say great. We look good. We look far better than we looked previously. So I'm just hoping he takes us through to January and maybe something will happen in January.
I mean, what he may be lacking tactically or knowledge-wise in terms of managerial experience, maybe he makes up for a bit in terms of team spirit and the way the players react to him.
Yeah, I think he does. It's been said quite a bit over the last few weeks how the players like him, like him, his methods and his persona. I think that, again, that's what's needed. I mean, Ronald Koeman, regardless of his past, is a very dour man. And sometimes, you know, he wouldn't inspire me, to be honest with you. Whereas Unsworth is steeped in Everton tradition and he loves the club, he bleeds Everton. So, you know, let's hope that filters through and we can put something together.
Jay, let's have a look at a couple of players that could be involved again tomorrow. One of them being Adam Lallana. Joe's tweeted us in, return of Adam Lallana. Is it being overhyped? Great to have him back. I'm not sure how much of a difference he'll make. He seems to have been gone for such a long time now.
There's no getting away from it. Adam Lallana is a very good player and, you know, he's important to Liverpool, how we play, you know, the pressing game, the pressing style. And this season, we haven't seen enough of it, really. I mean, Roberto Firmino does it from the front, but Adam Lallana does it all over the pitch. And, you know, Jurgen Klopp loves Adam Lallana. There's no doubt about it. And the last 12 months, not only has he been good for Liverpool, he was also good for England. He got England Player of the Year, didn't he, not so long ago. So, you know, he's been a key player that we've been without, you know, for his services for 3 months. So it's a welcome boost to have him back in the fold. But, you know, how fit's he going to be? Because he's missed all the season, hasn't he? So I can't see him starting the game, but you just never know with Klopp, because look at the West Ham game the other week. No one thought Sadio Mane would have started, and he did, and he got 2 assists. He played really well, and you know, it's good that he's came back from international duty. There was the talk, wasn't he, that he had a little bit of a niggle. He's felt a little twinge, but apparently he's back in training, so he's available to play as well.
So who is the fall guy if Adam Lallana does start?
Well, that's a tricky one, isn't it? Because Phil Coutinho is available as well now because he played for Brazil in midweek against England. So, you know, it's an embarrassment of riches, really, isn't it? A selection process that, you know, Klopp's going to have to make a decision on who he will start in the game. But it's what helps Liverpool now is we've got loads of options and it makes the bench better, doesn't it, as well, Steve?
So the likes of Gini Wijnaldum or Emre Can all of a sudden might become subs here.
Well, to be perfectly honest, regarding Emre Can, if he doesn't sign a new deal at Liverpool, I wouldn't start him in games because, you know, he's not really showing very good professionalism, is he? You know, for the cause, really. So I think he's a good player, but I think he thinks he's better than what he actually is. He's a bit of a, what's the term, a big-time Charlie, you know, wanting a buyout clause and all that. I mean, the club have offered him a very good wage. Why does he want a buyout clause? It doesn't make any sense. You know, only one player, as far as I'm aware, in Liverpool's history has had a buyout clause, and that was Luis Suarez, one of the best players in the world. Coutinho, Salah, Mane, Firmino, none of them have got a buyout clause, so why does Emre Can deserve one?
Good point. Let's have a look at the Everton selection for the Palace game. Are there big question marks over players, or is it a straightforward choice, Gary?
I think there's been question marks over players all season, Steve. You know, I think I've said it a few weeks ago, it's the senior players at the club who've let us down this season. You know, someone mentioned it last night, actually, on the Legends, about one or two players. You can't cope with one or two players not turning up in a game. And this season, it's been 4 and 5 and 6 players not turning up in a game. And that's why we're in the position we're in. So a lot of them have got to look at themselves in the mirror. You know, for me, obviously Sigurdsson, Klaassen hasn't settled. You know, I know Rooney scored a lot of goals. I say a lot of goals. He scored the most goals for us this season. For me, it doesn't work on the side. But I'd be looking at two men up front. I'd be starting with Calvert-Lewin and Nias, to be honest with you, because we do look far better and far more of a threat. with the two of them up front.
And Umani is showing the right attitude, isn't he?
Oh, you know what? You can't fault him in any way. He's an absolute gem as a human being. You know, if the world was full of Umani asses, it'd be a great place. Because, you know, he's just a genuinely nice fella. You know, the way he was treated was absolutely awful by Koeman. And to stick that out, still remain professional, turn out every week for the under-23s, get his one chance and come back and score two goals. You know, it speaks volumes for him.
Gem of a human being. I love it. Right, what's the scoreline going to be at Selhurst Park?
I'll go with a hopeful 1-0 win for us.
Good stuff, Gary. What about the Reds at home? They should win this, Jay, shouldn't they?
Southampton had a little bit of a bogey team to Liverpool. I mean, I think we played them four times last season. We never scored a goal against them. So, you know, they're very organised and difficult to break down. But I just think with all the players Liverpool have got coming back and, you know, obviously the options available to us and the attacking prowess that we've got, I think we might just have a little bit too much for them this time. And we've got a different manager now as well, haven't we, Pellegrino? So I'll go for a 2-0 Liverpool victory.
Boys, brilliant stuff. Enjoy your football this weekend. Jay, Gary, thank you very much. Speak next week.
Cheers, Steve. Cheers, lads.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.